Start your day the Torah way in Northwest London, Monday, 30th of Cheshvan, 7th of November, Rabbi Gideon Goldwater Shlita, what Avraham Avinu brought to the world.
It's a schus to be invited to share some different material with everyone. It's interesting because these parashiyos, certainly at the moment, there's an endless choice of yesodah sticker ideas to choose from to speak about. So it's a little bit, some ways harder when asked to speak around this time of year, but in other ways it's much easier. But I thought I'd find something that I think often slips through the cracks, because it's a small inyan with Avraham Avinu. It's not the big headliners, if you like, and there's something I think very fundamental here. So it's just in the Torah, just before we get to the laning of Rosh Hashanah, the Akedah, just before that, Avraham Avinu has just made a bris with Avimelech. And at the end of there, the Torah slips in a little pasuk that seemingly doesn't bear so much significance. But we'll speak about it today, and I think we'll find that actually there's a lot there. So the pasuk says, Vayita Eishel Be'er Sheva, that Avraham Avinu, after doing this bris, went and planted an Eishel in Be'er Sheva. Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. And there he did what, for lack of a better term, we'll describe as his kiruv. Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem. He called out and he brought people close to Hashem. So, there are certain mefarshim who learn the pasuk kipshutoi and say, what is an eishel? It's a certain type of tree. The Radak says, very simply, it's a certain type of tree. Now that he's made this bris with Avimelech, he wants to display that this is really his land. So he takes, what does he do to, how do you demonstrate that this is your land? You plant a tree there. That's poshim shat. Interestingly, Arkadis Yitzchak says, there has to be something deeper there. Otherwise, the Torah doesn't just tell us, like, nice things, that's what happened afterwards. There must be something going on, which perhaps is why we find Chazal come along and actually give us a lot of anchors to what was really going on, what this Eishel was. So to start with, to quote, now obviously the first place to see is Rashi. Rashi on the pasuk says, what is this Eishel? Rashi says, Ravu Shmuel, there is a machloikas Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Paradise, that the Eishel was an orchard. Lahavi Mimenu Peiris La'ochim Besuda. Avraham Avinu planted an orchard so that he could have fruit to give to all his guests. V'chad Omar Punduk. And the other man's Omar says it was a punduk, some kind of hotel, some kind of inn or restaurant. Achsanya Uboi Kol Mine Peiris, and he had food in it to give, fruit in it to give to his guests. Now Rashi then is bothered by a question that Gemara asks. If it's a punduk, if it's a hotel, why does it use the Loshon of Vayita? You plant trees, you don't plant hotels. So it says, Matzinu Loshon Atiya Ba'olim, we find elsewhere in Tanakh that there is the word Vayita, you can plant buildings. Shenema Vayita Oli Apadnoi. In Sefer Daniel it says that they planted these palaces. So you see the Loshon of Vayita planting by buildings as well. Now, this is almost a total aside. When I was learning this and trying to kind of find a little bit more about this, I noticed an obvious question, and I'm still bothered by it, so I'm going to share it with you, but it's not really the inyan of today. It's Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, towards the end of the Perek. So Rashi quotes an Achlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Rashi is actually quoting from Chazal. There's a Gemara in Sota Daf Yud that we'll see in a minute, as well as a Medrash Rabbah that we'll see in a minute as well, that brings this Machlokes, is an Eishel a paradise or is it a punduk? Now, it's an Amoratistic question, but Chazal that we have, it doesn't quote Rav and Shmuel. The Machlokes, as we'll see, is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. So why is Rashi saying Rav and Shmuel? So I did a little bit of digging to try and find. I thought the obvious answer would be that there's different girsois, and I couldn't find any different girsois. Suddenly, the Ozahad didn't have any different girsois in the Gemara, the Medrash Rabbah. I even looked up online. You can look to find in the British Library. They have the original Kisvei Yads of the Medrash Rabbah, which is very interesting. But unfortunately, fortunately, it is the same girsois that we have, Rabbi Huda and Nechemiah. So you're stuck. Why on earth now to say Rashi made a mistake on a Mefurish Gemara? Or a Medrash, you can't do. I saw in the Mefarshi Rashi, the Maskil of David also points out this seeming problem and doesn't have an answer. So the question is there, why does Rashi quote Rav and Shmuel when seemingly this is not a machlokas Rav and Shmuel? I tried looking maybe elsewhere in Shas that Rav and Shmuel have a similar machlokas. Doesn't seem to be the case, but it's a question. Someone pointed out to me yesterday that is indeed a Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has a little mimer on this and has some kind of hesber on why Rashi chose to quote Rav and Shmuel when it wasn't really them that had the machlokas. Tzorich Iyun, if anyone has any other ideas as well. That's as an aside. But really what we want to look at is the actual machlokes. Is it a paradise? Is it a punduk? And to start with the Maharal in Gur Ariyeh...
Could it not be both?
So it could be both as well. But that's part of the question that we're going to deal with. Because the Maharal asks, L'may nafka minna? His words is, on the Gur Ariyeh, he says, V'yeshli t'maya, may nafka le minna in paradise hayoi hayoi punduk? It's a very strange machlokes. You can imagine the Beis Medrash, one says, you know what an eshel is? It's a paradise, it's an orchard. And then the other man Dama comes along and says, no, it's not an orchard, it's a hotel. What difference? So we know that Chazal don't mince their words and they don't argue about things that don't necessarily make too much of a difference. And there must be something here, and perhaps that is the biggest kind of clue that there's something deeper going on. So in order to understand what's going on, I think the best place to start, sorry with my papers, it's just easier than bringing a whole pile of svarim, is to start with the Medrash itself. Because if you look at the Medrash itself, you'll see that there's a bit more there, which actually makes the question even worse, or even better, depending on how you want to look at it. So says the Medrash, Vayita Esha Bever Shava, this is a Medrash Rabbah, Parashat Nundalud Simon Vov, on the Parashat Vayera. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya. So there you go, that's the Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yehuda Omar, it's interesting, I always find it funny, when we quote a Machloikis, we're not sure which Shitta said which. We usually say, Rav Shmuel, Chad Omar, Chad Omar that, and we're not sure who said what. Here, we do both. We say, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya, and then we say, Rabbi Yehuda was the man to Omar who said, Eshel is a paradise. And then he explains, what does that mean? Sha'al matishal. It was a place, an orchard, where you can come and anyone who wants to ask for something can ask for something. What do you want to ask? Te'enim, figs, anovim, grapes, rimoinim, pomegranates. That's what a paradise is. You can come and ask for figs, grapes, and pomegranates. So again, we're asking this question. What are they arguing about? So the first man to Amos says, it was an orchard where you can get figs, grapes, and pomegranates. And then Rav Nechemya comes along and says, no, it wasn't figs, grapes, and pomegranates. Amma Eishal Punduk, it's a hotel or an inn, a bed and breakfast. Sha'al Matishal, and what could you ask for there? Igula, you could get cake or lechem, right? You can get bread, koipar, meat, chamar, wine, bayin, beitzim, eggs. That's what he says. That's what it was. And it doesn't explain much further. There's another shita afterwards that says an Eishal is a Sanhedrin. Avraham Avinu planted a Sanhedrin. But we're going to look at the first two shittas here.
By the way, he said here,
Vayita?
Vayit
Ahaloi. So there's very interesting questions being raised here. Is in Lech Lecha we say Vayit Ahaloi? So it's a question on Rashi. Why does Rashi, it's really a question on the Gemara, we'll see in a second. Yeah. Why does Rashi have to bring a raya from Sefer Daniel?
Exactly.
That the Loshon of Vayita is used by buildings when actually it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's really a question of the Gemara, because the Gemara brings that pasuk. We'll see it in a second. So after seeing the Medrash Rabbah and asking our question and saying, why is one so adamant that you know what it is, it's figs, grapes and pomegranates, the other one says, no, it's meat and wine. So the Gemara also has such a similar Loshon. The Gemara it's quoting is Gemara Saita, and there it brings the same machloikis. Here we start with Rishlakish Melamach Asa Paradis, Venotaba Kol Mine Megadim. So Rishlakish adds a little bit to it and says that it was a paradise as well, like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya, Chadam a paradise, Vechadam a punduk. And then the Gemara asks, Bishlam Lamandam a paradise, Hainu Dixir Vayita. That's why it uses the word planting, because you plant trees. And Lamandam a punduk, Mai Vayita. What are you planting? It's a hotel. And it brings Kedixir. And it brings the pasuk in Daniel. So we're going to leave that as a tzorich iyun as well. Why is it that we have to bring a pasuk in Daniel when you could have brought the pasuk in Lech Lecha? Okay. In order to understand, I think, a mahalich in what the real machlokas is here, first of all, the Gur Aryeh has an unbelievable shot that we'll come to in a second, but I want to kind of give a little hakdama to his pirush. The Gur Aryeh starts by saying something amazing. He starts by saying that really, he says, there's something very deep going on here. Warning, right? Flashing light saying there's something deep going on. And he starts by saying the following. He says, Yesh lefarish, this is the Maral, and we'll come back to him as well. Ki yesoid netiyas hachochma nikra paradise. Now it's interesting because we use the word paradise, and we know from the Gemara in Chagiga, if anyone doing Daf Yomi, it was a while ago already, but paradise is always what we use to referring kind of entering into the paradise. Is the whole Gemara about the time we went into the paradise, it's talking about accessing chochma. Accessing deeper wisdom. And we also know that, and I couldn't find a makor, I don't know where this comes from, but I think it's quite yodua, quite well known, that paradise is Rosh Tevis, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid, meaning it's the kind of what we use to refer to different ways of explaining the Torah and accessing Chochmah. So he says, Kikamoy, this is the Maral again, Shab paradise yesh boi natiyas, just like in a paradise, in an orchard, you have plantings, vanatiyas motzim pri, and they produce fruit, Kachay Avram. So to Avram, Noitea Netias Hamuskolos, he planted, and in English we have this idea as well. You can plant an idea. He planted ideas, Muskolos, Sheroy Likroisam Netia. That, I guess in Lashon HaKodesh it's the same thing. You can plant ideas. You can plant wisdom. Ki Kamosh Netia He Netia Chazok of Oretz, Kach Muskolam Netzios Heim Netuim Chazokim. And then he describes what Avram Avinu planted was Muskolos Rishonos. In philosophy, we'd call that first principles. He planted the first principles in the world from which you can extrapolate what the Maral calls Muskolos Shnius, secondary principles. Meaning once you've got your first principles in place, you can then learn from that everything else, and you'll be sure to have MS as well, because if it follows from point A, and your point A is true, if A is true, then B is true, then C, etc., etc. Once Avram Avinu introduced the world to correct philosophy, everyone had access to truth. Vayita Eishel, according to the Maradam, who says paradise, that it was Chochmah he implanted into the world, MS. He showed the world how to get to the truth. That's the first pshat. So what's with this figs, grapes, and pomegranates? So Rav Moshe Shapiro takes this, and he shows us a Gemara, a Gemara that's really going to shed light on this. And it starts from a pasuk in Melachim. The pasuk in Melachim describes how Klal Yisrael enjoyed themselves in a time of total peace and serenity. In Melachim Aleph, in Perek Hei, pasuk Hei, it says, Vayeshev Yehudu Yisrael Avetach, finally, after everything they've been through, Klal Yisrael finally settled down, and they live with security. Ishtachas gafnoi v'sachas teinosoi. Everyone sat, this one under his gefen and under his vine, and this one under his fig tree. Midan v'yad ber sheva. Kol yimei shloima. That's like the pasuk, like there's very few pasukim in Tanakh which describe how peaceful and calm everything was, but that's one of the pasuk. Ask for Moshe Shapiro, I don't understand. Ishtachas gafnoi v'sachas teinosoi. Number one, so fig trees are a good shade. A vine is not a good shade. It's not a good. If you're looking for a beautiful shady place, it's a small kind of it's not a tree. And secondly, why is the Navi telling us tachas gafnei v'sachas? Well, we care where they position their deck chairs, right? That's that. He says there's got to be something deeper here. So he explains. You want to know what something deeper? And he references this Gemara that we'll learn together. Gemara in Pesachim at the end of Arve Pesachim. It's going through all the Agaditas. And then there's one, this long piece, it's a long piece of Agadita, we're not going to see the whole thing, but it describes the wealth of Rome. And you'll see where we're going with this in a second. But it says like this, the Gemara says, it's describing a gift from Rome, and it's Shishim v'chamisha shavakim, right? 65 shavakim, v'krach gadol sharoimim, v'chalecha v'echad hoiboy sholosh meis v'shishim, v'chamisha baryonim, etc. And in each one of those there was another, and then it goes and lists lots and lots of big numbers. And in v'chol mayin o'mayla hoiboy k'dei lozen es kol oilem kulayin, in every single little bit, within the little bit, there was enough to feed, there was enough wealth, enough food to feed the entire world. Amar Rebbe Shmuel the Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel says to Rebbe, after hearing about the great wealth of Rome, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, and some people say it was Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Hani Laman. All this wealth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to Rome, who's it really for? So he says, Lecha lechavrecha lechavrusecha. It's for you and your friends, it's for the Talmidei Chachamim. Shenei Marin, it quotes the Pasuk Schara ve'enena, Kodesh Hashem lo yetzav lo yechasein, Kli Yoshim v'nei Hashem, etc., etc. And then the Gemara goes on to Darush in each part of the Pasuk, describing how each part of the Pasuk is a reference to another type of tzaddik. But at the end of the Pasuk, it says a very funny phrase. It says, to the Michsei Atik. One of the people that's going to be zoicher to the wealth of Rome are called Michsei Atik. And the Gemara says, what's Michsei Atik? Literally, in the article, it translates it as someone who wears fine robes. But the Gemara says, what's Michsei Atik? So it says, Atik is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atik Yoimin. So he says, Atik Yoimin, Zamechase Devorin Shekise Atik Yoimin. It's somebody who hides over, or covers, or is Mechase, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechase. Umaynin Hu, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers over? Gemara says, Sisrei Torah. So you want to know one of the people who is listed in the Pasuk as gaining eventually one day from the wealth of Rome is somebody who is mechaseh, somebody who hides over or covers over the Sisrei Torah. Says the Gemara next line, V'ikad Amri, and there's another opinion as to what this Michsei Atik is. Zeh HaMegale Dvarim Shekisei Atik Yomin. It's someone who reveals that which Hashem hid. Meinin Hu, what is it that someone is revealing that Hashem hid? Tamei Torah. The reasons of the Torah. So it's almost two opposites. Two types of people are going to be zoicha to the wealth of Rome one day. One is the person who knows what not to teach, Sisrei Torah. This is what we don't teach. And another person is the person who knows how to teach Tamei Torah. That Hashem didn't necessarily reveal in the Torah the Tamei HaMitzvahs. But Dvarim Shel Tam, if a person is able to access them and teach them with others and share the beauty of Torah with them, such a person is Zoyche one day to the wealth of Rome. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, these two types of sharing Torah, of accessing Chochma, are really parallel to Tachas Gafnoi and Tachas Teinosoi. And that's what Klal Yisrael was celebrating in Shalva, in peace, in Eretz Yisrael. How so? So we know that Geffen, wine, a vine, is really connected to Soid, Sisrei Torah. We know Nichnas Yain Yotza Soid, Yain is Gematria Soid, quite well known. So he says that Geffen, Tachas Gafnoi, means people were able to sit and learn Sisrei Torah, not reveal them, but learn Sisrei Torah. That's Tachas Gafnoi. Tachas Tein Osoi, so a fig, is known as a pre-shaltam. It's a pre where you can eat the whole thing, it's delicious. So he says, Tachas Teinosoi is actually someone who could sit and learn Tamei Torah. So the two fruits, the first two of the three that we saw in the original Medrash, who says that what was an Eshel, it was a paradise where someone could come and ask Avraham Avinu, I want to have grapes, I want to have figs. It's really somebody coming to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu, like we saw, was planting a paradise according to the Maharal. He planted the roots of wisdom in the world. He planted the root ideas that from which all of Chochma, all of Torah would come. The two expressions of that we've seen so far, one is he planted the roots of Sisrei Torah, and two is he planted the roots of Tamei Torah. The first principles of each of those from which everyone else could come and be darshan and get more from that. But there was a third fruit as well that the Medrash, according to Rabbi Yehuda, listed, is included in the paradise, which was a rimoin, a pomegranate. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, what's the significance of a rimoin? So a rimoin, he says, is a very—it's one of those things that unless you think about it, you haven't thought about it. Because a rimoin is a unique fruit. It's perhaps the fruit that has the thickest skin. The thickest, most bitter, revolting. You can't eat the skin of a pomegranate. But if you dig deep down, the seeds inside are delicious. They're very, very sweet. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, in fact, we find Chazal making a reference to that. And here you see a beautiful link. Again, quoting the Gemara, I mentioned it briefly before, in Gemara Chagiga that talks about the Tanaim who went into the paradise. On the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, says, Ashkechi Rabba Bar Shila Leliyo. Rabba Bar Shila, I came across Eliyo Anovi, and he said to him, my Kovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at the moment? There's a few times in Shas where we see that one of the Amoraim, Tanoim, meets Eliyo Anovi, and they ask him, what's Hashem doing? So here's one of them. So Eliyo answered, Ka'ama Shmaitim Ipumayhu to Kulhu Rabbonon. He's saying over Divrei Torah from all of the Rabbonim. But he's not saying Divrei Torah from Rebbe Meir. What's wrong with Rebbe Meir? Why is he not saying Divrei Torah from Rebbe Meir? Mishum de kol gama shmaitim ipumi de acher. Because Rebbe Meir learned Torah from Acher. Elisha ben Avuya went into the paradise and he came out. He was Acher, he became Acher. And Rebbe Meir was the only Talmud Chacham who went and still learned Torah from him. So Amalei, am I? How could, what's the problem over here? Rabbi Meir, listen to the words of the Gemara. Rabbi Meir, rimayin matzah. Right, toichei ochal, kliposei zorak. Rabbi Meir was able to see what the falsehood was and extract the MS from Acher. And how does the Gemara describe that? Rimon Matzah. He was able to approach Torah like a rimon, like a pomegranate. It requires a certain expertise to be able to... I'm not very good at this, but if you try and eat a pomegranate, you need to learn how to do it properly. There's a way of doing it. If you don't, you end up with all bits of klipa all over it. You want to understand what the third element of Chochmah, that Avraham Avinu Shashos al Eshel, who planted an Eshel, which was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a paradise... The third element of wisdom is not the ability to be darshan sisrei Torah, tamei Torah, that's the grapes and the figs. The third element is to be able to separate the klipa, the sheker, from the emes. That's a rimoin. And that's what shittas Rabbi Yehuda is. Okay, so we've got a little bit of time now to discuss the other shitta. That's what Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, paradise. Eishel is a paradise, that's what Avraham Avinu gave to the world. Comes along Rabbi Nechemya and says, no, that's not pshat. That's not what Avraham Avinu gave to the world. And what does he say? It was a pundak, it was a hotel, an inn, a bed and breakfast. So now we can begin to see, perhaps, that there's a bigger machloikis going on. And let's go back to the Maral, just to read the words of how he explains what Shitas Rabbi Nechemya is. And he says, Uman do ama pundak. Right, Salaima ki loi haya ikka Avraham lilmoid chachomim livnei adam. Chochmah, sorry, Livnei Adam. Avraham Avinu wasn't teaching wisdom. He wasn't planting ideas in the world. Elohim alamid lohem ha-maisim ha-ratsuyim. He was telling them, maisim ha-ratsuyim. Not ideas, not how to think, but what to do. Eitel Hashem Yisborach. What Hashem wants you to do. V'hayim megaya roisom. He would be megaya people. V'ichnisom tachas kanfei ha-shchina. And he says, Kiladas Harishon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it was an orchard, Loi Hayom Alamid Avron Rak LeChachamim. He gave principles of Chochmah, and he was only teaching the Chachamim. Vezes over Loikain comes along with Nechemya and says, that's not Avraham Avinu. That's not what he did. Elakol Ovrim Gedolim Katanim Hayom Akabel. He would take everyone in. You don't need to be a Chacham, you don't need to be a philosopher. Umachnisam Tachas Kanfei Ashchina. He would bring them in. Vahayom Alamid Oisom. He would teach them what to do. Schlep them in and make them do mitzvahs. Now you begin to see, this is not a machloikis that's irrelevant, this is a machloikis that persists still today. What is the correct way of teaching Torah? Do you bring people in and get everyone in, start to give them a little of an esra, put tefillin on them? Or is the mahalach perhaps different? Teach them the scholars rishonish, teach them philosophy, build them so that they can think themselves. That's not a stam machloikis, that's a big machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, one chad omar paradise, the chad omar punduk. And the Maral goes further and he says, why is it that it's called, in the Medrash we saw, that Rabbi Nechemya, who says it's a punduk, says, it's not peiros, it's not figs and rimoin, pomegranates, etc. What is it? Boss of a yayim. The Maral says, v'nikru boss of a yayim, shahamaisim ha-toivim asher yaseh ha-odom, hu chiyus v'kim ha-nefesh. It's the basics. Fruit is like dessert, right? But he says, "Teinim anovim sheim boim lekinuach suda." That's the nice things at the end. But the ikka, the bread and butter, if you like, or here meat and wine, that's a punduk. Says from Nechemya, that's what Avraham Avinu gave to the world. He taught people what to do. Now, before I conclude with another kind of addition to this, what's really going on over here, now that I've kind of dropped a bombshell in terms of what the machloikis really is, I think it's kedai to just read the last words of the Maharal as well. And he says, "In taskil v'tovin, kishoyrish echad emes v'gezer tzedek l'shneim." There is an emes to both of these approaches, and we don't paskin halacha like Rabbi Hudor and Nechemya. Both of them have an emes. Avraham Avinu gave us both approaches. Now, to add on a whole new element to this pasuk in the time that we have left, I'll quote to you the lashon of the Targum Unculus on the pasuk. The pasuk here, the Unculus says, "Netziv nitzba biver shava v'tzali talma mishmad Hashem lekar da'alma." It sounds like the Unculus is learning that this was a place of tefillah, v'tzali talma mishmad Hashem lekar da'alma. So the question is here, what's the connection between everything we've said and tefillah? Why is this a makom tefillah? Whether you planted an orchard, a pundak, a paradise, why is that a makom tefillah? So there is one reference, another reference here, let's see if I can find it. In the Gemara in Ksubas, much more recent for Daf Yomi people, on Daf Tesvov, says, it's talking about various people who are sitting Shiva, and different kind of mainras of people who gave hespedim or menachem avelim. So amalei kum eima milso keneged menachem avelim. They told one of the amiraim who had visited that he should stand up and say something that would be menachem avelim. Pasach va'amar. He opened and he said, "Acheinu goim lechasodim, bnei goim lechasodim. You, the people sitting shiva, goim lechasodim, bnei goim lechasodim, hamachzikim b'vrisay shel Avraham Avinu. You are machzik in the bris of Avraham Avinu. Acheinu bal hagmul yishalim lochem gmulchem baruch ato mishalim hagmul." That was his bracha they gave to the Menachem Avelim, and he said that shkoyach, basically, you are being mekayim the bris of Avraham Avinu, which is goim lechesed. Rashi on that Gemara. What does it mean, bivrisa shel Avram? Shegomal chasodim dichsiv. He was gomel chasodim dichsiv vayita eishel. Rosh Tevis, achila shesia nevaya. That many people are familiar. Eishel is Rosh Tevis, achila shesia nevaya. Again, fits in very nicely with the paradise that he would offer people fruit, but also a punduk that he would offer people basavayayin. But here, Rashi's saying that the bris of Avram Avinu of Gemilas Chasodim, that's vayita eishel. So there's a bris going on here. And on this, to understand why it's a makom tefillah, which maybe is why the Targum Unculus calls it a makom tefillah, you have to understand, I'll just share you with one last thing, the Vilna Gaon is a famous grub, an unbelievable grub, brought in Ksav HaKabbalah on the parasha, and he says, you don't want to know what a bris is? A bris is when two parties are stuck together. And they can't, they're joined together. But for some unknown reason, some whatever reason, they have to now separate. But in order to stay connected, they leave a piece of themselves with the other party. That's what a bris is. So at this moment of time, when Avraham Avinu is planting his eishel, vayita eishel, there's a bris forged between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu that says that you, Avraham Avinu, the forefather of Klal Yisrael, are now going to be taking my chesed, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and giving it to your children, grandchildren, etc. At that moment, if there's really a bris going on, then it has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meeting Avraham Avinu, and that's a very special place, says the Unculus, that's a makom tefillah. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the lashon of koreis bris. It's a very funny thing. A bris is a covenant between two parts, and a koreis is actually cutting away. So how is a koreis bris? And the answer is, yeah, that's what a bris is when two parties that were together are separating and they're leaving one part of themselves with each other. That's koreis bris, the deepest possible connection you can have. And that's what happened when Avraham Avinu planted his eishel, mandama paradise, mandama punduk, whichever mandama you go with, What happened at that moment was there was an intimate connection, an intimate everlasting connection between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that turned it into a makom of tefillah, and that became the symbol, the sign, the bris of chesed of Avraham Avinu. We should all be zoicha to tap into that bris, be goyim lechasadim, b'nei goyim lechasadim, in whatever way, whether we are inviting people to our home and sharing our food with them, whether we're going out to the streets and also sharing our food, fruit with them over there. Have a wonderful, wonderful morning.
Good job, Rifle.